Good morning. It's September 10th. The time is 8 a.m., and this is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. The Denver Post reports long lines of marijuana supporters gathered at Denver's Civic Center yesterday for a free joint giveaway. Police and city officials stood nearby as the event proceeded, reportedly without problems. Along with legalizing recreational marijuana, Amendment 64 allows adults in Colorado to trade up to an ounce of pot. According to the Post, some people were at the giveaway to speak out against proposed taxes on marijuana when retail shops open next year. Amendment AA on this November's ballot asks voters to approve a 15% excise tax on marijuana, along with an initial 10% sales tax. Opponents say those taxes could encourage buyers to stay on the black market and out of licensed shops, undermining the state's efforts at regulation. The Post reports the campaign supporting Amendment AA spoke out against the giveaway, saying marijuana taxes are needed to fund regulation and are a key part of keeping the federal government out of the new industry. Organizers of Monday's event reportedly gave away more than 600 free joints and brought around a pound of extra marijuana that was previously seized by the North Metro Drug Task Force but recently returned. Two state lawmakers face a recall election today for supporting stricter gun laws. As Benta Berkland reports, it's the first time state lawmakers have ever been recalled in Colorado.
Earlier this year, the Democratic-controlled legislature passed sweeping gun laws, including universal background checks and limiting high-capacity magazines to 15 rounds. Dudley Brown heads Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. His group has been raising money to back the recall elections.
It's a message to senators and state representatives that they went too far.
Democratic Senators John Morris and Angela Jaron stand by their votes, and both say the gun laws are a bold step to protect public safety. I'm Benta Berkland.
Two men have been sentenced to prison after traveling long distances to Grand Junction with the intent of meeting children for sex. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the men, separate cases with one from Seattle and one from Brazil, will both see over a decade in prison. The arrests come as a result of the Project Safe Childhood Project, orchestrated by the Department of Justice to fight child sex abuse and exploitation. According to the Sentinel, the Colorado U.S. District Attorney's Office says both men were captured after speaking online with undercover agents, posing as children, and planning the trip to Grand Junction. One was arrested in August and the other in February. Kumar C. Kibble, the special agent in charge of Homeland Security with investigations in Denver, said, quote, "Anyone who travels great distances to have sex with children is an especially dangerous predator." The Associated Press reports a Colorado state psychiatrist has delivered a long-awaited opinion on whether or not James Holmes was legally insane when he killed 20 people and injured 70 at an Aurora movie theater. Though the secret report isn't the last word on Holmes' mental state, both prosecutors and defense attorneys consider it a key piece of evidence in the trial and could decide whether Holmes faces the death penalty or is sentenced to life in prison. According to the AP, Holmes was evaluated by the State Mental Health Institute in Pueblo over the summer after entering a not guilty plea by reason of insanity. The report from that evaluation will say whether the psychiatrist who examined Holmes believes he meets the state's legal definition of insanity, the inability to tell right from wrong when committing a crime due to a mental disease or defect. Details from the report are expected to remain secret until they're mentioned in court or written about in a motion. And the AP reports other documents in the case released Monday showed a judge rejecting three motions from the defense to fight the death penalty. Since Holmes's charges were filed by prosecutors and didn't stem from a grand jury, the defense also tried again to call a hearing where they could challenge a 3D reconstruction of the movie theater and bullet trajectories. The debate over the gas drilling technique known as hydraulic fracturing is heating up this fall as several cities along Colorado's Front Range prepare to vote on fracking bans or moratoriums. In a story for High Country News, the writer Josh Zappos documents the groundswell of Front Range opposition to fracking and also describes how some of Colorado's more rural communities actually want to loosen fracking rules. As Zappos told KDNK's Nelson Harvey in the latest edition of Sounds of the High Country, voters on both sides of the drilling debate are jockeying for more local control over gas exploration in Colorado.
Everywhere, the wildness of the country seemed to get inside the people themselves.
Josh Zappos, welcome to Sounds of the High Country.
Thanks for having me.
So your story's about opposition to fracking in populated, fairly urban areas along the Front Range. talk about how much drilling has increased along the Front Range in recent years and how quickly that's happened.
Well, since 2006, numbers from the State Oil and Gas Conservation Commission show that a number of wells have actually almost doubled along the Front Range. And that's happened in places like Weld County, where there already was some conventional drilling going on, and it's really kind of skyrocketed there. But it's also started up in some counties like Adams County and in parts of Boulder County. You know, one of the pretty damning studies that came out that I think certainly swayed some folks around Erie was research from the University of Colorado and NOAA that showed that, well, air quality around these wells was equivalent to the air quality in downtown Pasadena, California. So, you know, when we're talking about these bedroom communities having air quality like, you know, metropolitan Los Angeles, yeah, that's a pretty large concern.
Compared to other states, you know, Colorado has fairly strong drilling rules. You write about the requirement that groundwater around a well has to be tested both before and after the well is drilled. That's a fairly new rule. But do you think Colorado's rules are better suited to rural areas than they are to urban areas?
Well, I think we're playing catch-up a little bit in terms of finding out where the drilling is happening. And while Colorado does have some pretty strong rules, they were pretty generally designed when drilling and fracking ramped up into more rural areas, including Garfield County. As there's been expansion of fracking into shale rock formations, including the Niobrara Formation, which is on the Front Range, that's brought this pressure into these urban areas, and we're kind of seeing some first contact, and I think that's where we're seeing a lot of this backlash come from.
There are several municipalities that are putting fracking bans to their voters this fall. Can you talk a little bit about what's coming in terms of what people will be voting on along the Front Range?
There's definitely a groundswell happening around the Front Range, and communities are ultimately trying to take some measure of control over this, and you have citizens groups who feel that the state and the regulatory commission and the industry aren't addressing what they're concerned about. Some of these moratoriums that are popping up for the November ballot in cities are looking at 3 years or 5 years. So, again, I think we see citizens kind of pushing the envelope, and it'll come down to potentially some court decisions who decide whether local communities do have the right to try and control this.
In Weld County, they're worried about the impact that new state rules, state setback rules for wells could have on agriculture. Talk about their concerns.
Weld County is certainly its own example. Weld is a very productive agricultural economy. And the concern there is that county commissioners feel like, well, energy and agriculture have coexisted here for several decades. Now the state is responding to some of the concerns that are coming from other communities where fracking is just showing up. Those rules really aren't well suited for Weld County. One of the examples is that by making larger setbacks for drilling equipment, it ends up, there's a claim that, well, then we can have drilling equipment closer to farm fields, and that can impact irrigation practices.
Do you see any reason to believe that opposition to fracking on the Front Range will subside as people grow more adapted to drilling and just essentially get used to it?
I think that's a great question. I think there's something very emotional in people's opposition to fracking, and part of it is that some of the risks that people ascribe and that have ultimately been tied to fracking, they're pretty insidious. We don't see groundwater contamination or air pollution happening. We just, you know, have to kind of connect the dots, and it'll be interesting to see if the wells and drill pads that are showing up kind of stay in the landscape, if people do become, you know, more accustomed to them.
Well, Josh Zafos, thanks so much for talking with us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure as always. Thanks, Nelson.
Sounds of the High Country is produced by Nelson Harvey and staff at KDNK in Carbondale. The Colorado Statesman reports that five Colorado communities are expected to vote on fracking bans or moratoriums this November. Fort Collins, Broomfield, and Boulder will ask voters to approve five-year moratoriums on the drilling process, while Loveland is working towards a similar question for a two-year time frame. According to the statesman, voters in Lafayette will be asked to approve a complete ban on new oil and gas activities. Loveland's question is the only one of the five yet to be formally placed on the ballot. Concerns over the safety of fracking have grown since the method has moved towards Colorado's more populated areas along the Front Range, with most fears centered on the drilling's technique effects on water sources and air quality. The city of Longmont has been sued twice over its controversial ban on fracking that passed by a vote of nearly 60% last year. The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission first filed suit, saying the town didn't have the authority to institute such a ban. That suit was later followed by one from the State Oil and Gas Association. The Statesman reports that communities trying to curb fracking activity are seeing significant pushback from the industry. Protests have been raised in Lafayette and Loveland to invalidate petition signatures for the upcoming ballot questions, though those protests were thrown out in both cases by city clerks. The organizer of the Lafayette protest said he feared he could lose his job with Halliburton if the ban passes. And that's the regional news for today. Thanks for listening to KVNF. I'm Travis Bubinick.